You can support this show at patreon.com/ASApodcasting. Welcome to a Skyrimatic podcast where I will discuss my adventures and misadventures through Skyrim. Join me. Add your stories. Add your tales. Let's get into this thing. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, Skyrimatic Podcast. I am Michael. Another episode here. So, I've been playing a little bit of Skyrim, I started ESO this week. I'm going to start off with Skyrim. Yes, I know I'm way late to ESO, but that's okay, because I'll get into that in a moment. Actually, I'm signed into both right now. So let me load up my character there so I can see. So in Skyrim, I think last time was Victor on last time? Yeah, we were talking about the Ordinator with the skeletons and stuff. So I haven't collected enough skeleton pieces to go to the altars yet. I think I'm like 2 pieces short of being able to do one. For the Conjuration perk where you have the Skeleton Warrior. So I'm kind of working on that. And just about finished the Baron Zaya Stones. I have one left to get. And it's that one in Solitude. The one in the house. So I'm going to start the... Cried Wolf quest? I believe is what I got to start. The Man Who Cried Wolf, I think it is. Where you have to, go take care of that. I think that's what I'm going to have to look it up, but I think that's what gets me or allows me to, be Thane in Solitude. I may already have this quest. You know what? Here's Falk. I do have it. All right. I have the quest already. So I got to do that so I can, get in favor in Solitude and get this house. Cause I need some gold too. I don't know. I got to see how much it costs, but, how much gold do I have? Let's see. I have 6,700 gold. I don't think I'm even close. Jesus. Oh man. So yeah, I really want to finish this Baron Zaya thing because I haven't done it. I've only done it one time. Oh, there we go. Man Who Cried Wolf. So there we go. I'm going to go clear out Wolf Skull Cave, but it's right up the road from the, Meridius Beacon, just north of there actually. So I'm going to head up there. But, yeah, I've only finished that one time and I figured it'd be more awesome to do it at a lower level. Because then the jewels will actually be worth something. Plus, with this character, I'm just selling everything anyway. So, it doesn't matter. There's a shout. That doesn't matter because I haven't activated the dragons yet. I believe I am going to do the dragon quest with this character. But, I will probably do a few other things first. I am definitely going to do... Well, obviously, I'm going to finish Baron's Eye. Cool, because I want to do the... I want to be able to get all the Dragon Priest masks because I ended up not being able to do that last time when we did it for the round table because my game crashed badly and I had to completely reinstall Skyrim and I cleared out the saves and stuff because just nothing was working. So... I kind of lost out on getting that achievement. It's something I never had because I never went through it that way. So that's kind of where I'm sitting with that. So I want to finish up Baron Zaya, do the Dragon Priest masks. And also after that, probably work into, the Daedrics. I didn't finish those, but the Dragon Priest masks, I don't think I've ever finished either. So I want to do both of those. So I need to do main quest to be able to do that. So that's kind of what I've been doing with my my Skyrim character. It's the same one I'm using for the round table. I may do a legendary Dead is Dead again. I haven't done any YouTube stuff in a while, so maybe I will do that again because it's been quite a while. All right. I picked up ESO, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. It was on sale for Xbox One. So let me open my journal here. Does it show me the quests I've finished? Or no? Lore Library, maybe? I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to see if it shows me the things I've finished or not. So I'm really early on, needless to say. Let's pull up my character so I can say what I am. I'm a Dark Elf Nightblade, Ebonheart Pact. I have zero bounty currently. I didn't previously. I am in Davin's Watch. So I'm pretty early on. I've only completed a few quests here and there. Obviously, I got out of Cold Harbor and got to here. I am using a one-handed sword. And I do have a bow that I stole that I've been using, a maple bow, kind of like that. So I'm kind of going one-handed that I've put into Magicka and Health. I haven't put into Stamina yet. Let's see. What's a title? I don't have any title. I have no active effects. My inventory, my collections, skills, journal, social. Okay, journal. Let's try that. Quests. It doesn't show them. I don't think it shows the ones I've completed. But I still have Bleak Rot. I have to go back and do some of the early ones. I tried doing the Close the Scamp Caves, but that was a level 8, and right now I'm a level 5, and I think I tried it at like level 3, and it wasn't going real well. So I have to go Close the Scamp Caves still. Exquisite Tears. Shady Characters contacted me at Devin's Watch. He said, "Prophet." So I got to go steal some wine for him or get some wine for some guy. Percussive Ranching. Mind Collapse. I have to persuade the Quama to return home. And right now I'm doing Quiet the Ringing Bell, which is return ball rest to itself. So that's kind of what I'm playing now. But anyway, in general about the game, I really am having a hard time getting into it. And I think it a lot of it has to do with just there's people everywhere. And I don't know, it just doesn't feel, you know, I like the quests are fine and all. But it's tough when you go in a place and, you know, the way the things spawn. I was doing one quest and you had a battle, whatever it was, as you were going through a cave. I forget what it was exactly. But like it would spawn and it would respawn and it's a little funky for me. I don't know if it's working fine yet. Certainly going to give it a bunch more hours and see how I feel about it. It's probably going to take me some time. I don't feel like it's overcrowded or anything. Actually, right now, there's hardly anybody around in the game at all. So there is that. I can't find the damn person who I'm supposed to talk to. Where are they? There's the Way Shrine. I don't know. I don't know if it's everybody else playing throws me off. But it's not drawing me in. And I don't expect it to be the same as a single-player game. It's just what it isn't drawing me in right at this moment. So maybe I need to just give it a little more time, get used to the type of play it is. What is going on there? Spectral Assassin is about to kill me. And I got to remember, which things I have set up is what, you know. I'm about to die here, actually. And, yeah, I have And I'm still learning how to do a character build also, so there is that. I mean, that's another huge part of it. And I'm dead. I'll probably just look into how to build and things like that. And I haven't really gotten into any crafting yet, very little. I think I'm researching something. But I haven't really gotten into any crafting or anything. I've just been doing basic stuff, just questing to level up a little bit and find things and just learn my way around. And, so far it's okay. I just don't know if it's for me yet. So that's where I am sitting on the SL. I almost cranked up, Oblivion this morning. I was like so close to starting it up and I decided to play some Skyrim instead because I really want to get through those Baron's Eye stones. I am sneaking. Oh, there's belly netches there. Oh, cool. That's my ESO, minimal ESO experience so far. I'll play some more over the next week or two and get a better feel. But that's kind of my first impressions. I know I'm way later to it than everybody else, which is fine. But I just feel like I can add on so many things to Skyrim, especially with the mods and stuff, that I don't know if I need... I don't know if ESO is optimal for me. So that's all my thoughts on that. I'm not ripping the game in any way. I am not an experienced MMO player at all. So I'm not even going to pretend like I know much about it because I do not, because I never really played MMOs. So it could be the world's greatest MMO. I really have no idea because it's not something I've ever played. It's just not the type of gaming I've ever done. I've always been a single player type game. So there's my thoughts on ESO so far. I'll have a little more thoughts on those next time. But I do have some feedback. Let's see. Get my email out. Oh, yeah. Last week we had the confusing show. Sorry about that. That was my bad with scheduling. So I have some feedback from Dave. And he clarified how to pronounce, it's not Mackay, it's Macaccia, like focaccia bread, which I hope is said the same here and in Scotland, because if it's not, I'm not pronouncing it correctly anyway. So, he's enjoying, playing ESO and he's still on Bleak Rock. So he's a slow burn type player. And, I kind of am too, but, let's see. So he has some backstory for Macaccia Blackstone, and, she's a young, dumber female, 230 years old, wealthy, with money and properties left by her grandfather, and also earns a lot of money from various occupations. She doesn't normally keep a journal. She does keep notes for official record, although they don't always tell the complete or even full truthful story. She's an Imperial assassin, bounty hunter, known by the code name By Nahil Septim. I hope I said that. That post is not recognized or known by any of the normal official Imperial organizations. Nor is it identified in the multitudinous books found throughout Tamriel, including the very good book on the Blades. The Blades were notoriously secretive, and I became the biggest secret of all. Last but not least, Pentheus Acolytus, of which I am just sitting on a cliffside in ESO about to die. Let me stop that. and I just lost my place. But not least the Pentheus Acolytus, of which I am officially a junior member. And do not have a clue. Officially a junior member and do not have a clue that it is. And that is the way that I intend to keep it. Officially, I'm one of several carriers to the Emperor and the Imperial Court. This means I can travel all over Tamriel for varying lengths of time, often moving between cities and countries for months at a time. My mother is very proud of my Imperial connections and boasts of my important job as an imperial carrier. If she knew what I really did, she would have hysterics and confine herself to her room for weeks. She would sob and wail in shame. I would visit on the family and generally be a victim. Don't get me wrong, I love my family, especially my baby brother, McBeta, but mother can be a bit much at times. Father usually doesn't say much and just buries himself in his housing projects. He is a mushroom architect of some real ability. The family is well established and settled in the Imperial City. For myself, I'm actually very good at my job as an assassin. As for bounty hunting, well, I am the one who brings him back dead and definitely not alive, although they may be walking at the time they return. Perfect. We have a lot of necromancy going on right now on Scaramatic. I usually needed to bring the proof of capture for payment, and I'm not carrying them. That's true. That's a good point. And if they turn to ash, you just bring their ash. Be Nihil Septum is, of course, a stupid code name, but that is the nature of emperors. Code name M. And as my boss's boss, that means he can get away with calling me whatever he wants. It is really of no consequence. He doesn't even know what I look like. He only knows I exist. My real boss is the Imperial Countess, Lady Mooney Penny, who is ostensibly employed as the private secretary to the Emperor. She is actually the current head of the Blades. She also knows that General Morrow, the current overall head of Pentas Oculatus, God, if I could speak this morning, a really useless bunch of tossers, would sell you down the river for a few septums, and she continues an ongoing love-hate relationship with them. The Morrow family run the Pentas Oculatus as a personal fiefdom and provide bodyguards for the Imperial Court. What is forgotten is the Blades were personal guard of the Emperor. Unfortunately, they're one of the first targets of the White Gold Concordia, and were disbanded and then butchered by the Thalmor. I only know of two others in the whole of Tamriel, although there may be others. Commander Morrow, the head of the Pentas Oculatus in Skyrim, is an absolute creep of the First, Second, and Third Order. His son is of similar nature. Very machismo, so they say. The official assassin is the Blade's secret execution arm of the Imperial Justicar, responsible and known only to the Emperor. Unknown to the Thalmor for obvious reasons, and is their deadliest enemy. My Emperor permits a kill on sight of any unofficial Thalmor agent found in any part of the Empire. These agents are definitely not part of the diplomatic corps of official observers. They tend to be thugs, employed as Talos worshipper hunters. They're recognized by the Thalmor as part of their White Gold Concordat Inspectorate, but they are not recognized as such by me nor the Emperor. The bounty on these agents is 50,000 septums per head. No attached body is necessary in these cases. Look, I need that gold because I need to buy this damn house in Solitude. That would be a good way to make 50,000, but alas, I cannot. I'm a mage with a very high level of skills in bows, dual, and single blades, showy magics for display, and also very silent magics for killing. I'm an enchanter of no mean expertise and a brilliant alchemist, specializing in those potions which shorten life extremely efficiently and quickly. I have some expertise in all forms of magic, but have a personal preference for alteration and conjuration, in which I excel, followed closely by destruction. I am Archmage of the College Winterhold, but Tolfdir deputizes very well for me, and I minimize my visits there. That's where my house is. Oh my god, I forgot. I forgot I was using the Archmage's quarters as a house. Sorry about that. I am going to replace that bastard Mercer Frey as leader of the Thieves Guild when I get the chance. I am also a member of the Dark Brotherhood. That is the real Dark Brotherhood, not the pretend Dark Brotherhood here in Skyrim. My grandfather was a listener during the Oblivion Crisis. We Dunmer are a long-lived, if not prolific, race. I am the current listener. Oh yes, I am Dragonborn and Thane of Whiterun and Morthal. Now to bring you up to date, I received my instructions from the Night Mother and get them relayed to Astrid by various variety of means. She runs a tight little organization, good enough for Sithis for the moment. Cicero went to Falkreath to try and reestablish proper Brotherhood Sanctuary in that out-of-the-way city. We also considered reopening the abandoned Dawnstar Sanctuary. I had good reports from him on a couple of members, and I look forward to finally joining them. So that's kind of the backstory of Makatia Blackstone, who is obviously the sister of McBeta, who is in ESO. And, my throat is dry. But yeah, I just remembered. I was trying to, earlier when I was playing Skyrim, I was like, oh, where do I keep my stuff? I couldn't remember where my house was. And then I realized, just while reading that, I am the Archmage. I've been using the Archmage's quarters. I haven't really been saving anything. I've been selling everything. Because I'm not using any weapons with this character. So really no need for me to have a house or anything like that, you know. Because it just, it's not necessary because I'm, you know, not using any of that stuff. Not using weapons of any kind, except for, yeah, maybe a staff that I find here or there. But other than that, I'm not using, you know, swords or anything. I do enchant them to sell and also build up my enchanting, obviously. So I can, you know, do some, enchant some magic stuff. But I haven't put a lot into that. Most of my perks have gone into conjuration, almost pretty exclusively. I mean, I've had other ones, obviously, but for the most part, it's been pretty strictly conjuration. Very little into destruction. I should actually put some more into destruction to help me out a little bit, but I'm already level 80 in conjuration. So I've been, and I'm only level 28 right now. So I've been using conjuration quite a bit. Kind of a balance between Raising the Dead and Atronax. So, and like I said, I put into that the Bone Collector part of the Conjuration Tree and Ordinator. So, right now I'm up to Dead Tide, where I get that's part of Bone Collector. You get you find 11 types of bones. You can, at the bone altar, you can convert one of each type of bone into a skeleton warrior. So they don't count against your summoning limit, and enemies can only temporarily defeat them, not destroy them. And then I just added Dead Tide, which I get a maximum number of skeletons increased by one for each 75 points of base magic. And my base magic is around 400 right now. So that's pretty good. So I can get quite a few extra skeletons. Let's see. Oh, Reapins. This is what I need. You loot 50% more bones from corpses and recover 50% more bones when you destroy a created skeleton. Created skeletons last 50% longer. So I need Reapins so I can get more bones. That's a nice perk. So that's probably where my perks will go next, is into Reapins so. But, hold on, I have a second email here from Dave. Let me get into that. Let's see. Here is, oops, let me fix that. Let me pause my game. I'm in the Wolfskull Cave, and I forgot to pause, and I'm just sitting there. And actually, let me sign out of ESO. While I'm thinking of it, I'm going to log out there. So, because I just got my character sitting up on a ledge. I just wanted to open it up to see where I was at. But I'll probably get back into that later. Actually, yeah, McBeta's in the same place I am. Davon's Watch. But here's the notes from Makatia Blackstone. Definitely pear-shaped and then a carrier. Pear-shaped, it certainly became, and I had a real problem. I had been on a long sojourn down in Cedardale for almost 6 months with little contact back home. I was deep undercover and could neither really stay in contact with Cicero nor Munipenny. It all kicked off whilst I was down there. It appeared at first glance that Cicero had finally flipped. He was always a bit unstable at the best of times. He had somehow let that little weasel, Armand Motier, get a message through to Astrid by some assassin the little skeever had planted in her group pretending to be a listener. The listener gave Astrid an offer she could not refuse. She saw only glory for her small group. Killing the Emperor would be a pinnacle and set her up for a long time. This set off a series of catastrophic assassinations leading up to the attempted assassination of the Emperor. I received a frantic message from Munipenny, and I fast-traveled to... Or Moneypenny, I should say. Why am I saying Munipenny? I fast-traveled to Fall Creek just as the Pentius Acolytus started to gut and burn the Falkree Sanctuary. They had already killed their stooge in solitude after he killed a fake emperor. I stopped the bastards and had managed to save both Nazir and Babette, but somehow got trapped in the Night Mother's coffin when I got in to avoid being cooked. The Night Mother told me the whole story of how Astrid had betrayed the Brotherhood and that Sithis was holding her ready in a burnt corner of her room for my judgment. Nazir and Babette found the coffin, and after they freed the Night Mother, I emerged and eventually convinced them to join me in Dawnstar by explaining who I really was. They left with the Night Mother and passphrase to enter the Dawnstar Sanctuary. I had found Arnbjorn's slowly regenerating body near Astrid and killed him with a silver arrow through the head via the eye. Werewolves are notoriously difficult to kill. I skinned him with a silver knife, making sure that Astrid saw my every cut and scrape. I cured the skin by spreading it and rubbing salt on the underside of the pelt, and then I wrapped Astrid in the skin. My Lord Sithis and I can keep people alive for a very long time, and salt properly applied can inflict a lot of pain on the burned flesh of a body. She told me everything. She told me all about the deal with the Maros and the Motiers, and how they had drugged Cicero and kept him hallucinating about the listener. This kept the others in line, especially Festus, who's apparently old school Black Brotherhood. How Cicero had eventually escaped and how Arnbjorn had chased him all the way to Dawnstar Sanctuary. Cicero could enter the sanctuary, and he left a badly wounded and frustrated Arnbjorn lying outside, unable to enter without the passphrase. Nobody else but me knew the passphrase. The Dark Brotherhood had been betrayed and attacked from within. The last Blade Guildmaster had been sold out by an emperor through fear and both personal and political. He was being put under pressure to abdicate. The very public assassination of his cousin just increased the fear and pressure. The Maro clan had convinced him that removing the Dark Brotherhood would vastly reduce the chances of his assassination, and he would prevail with their backing along with the Motier family. Both the Emperor and Astrid fell for their bloody plans, hook, line, and sinker. Gods preserve us from politicians and leaders who don't want to know all the facts and ignore the details and don't ask any hard questions of their advisors. I eventually killed Maro after he spent some time in my custody in a small retreat, which is close to my Morthal estate house. I'd found him on the docks outside Solitude waiting to get a ship back home, so it wasn't a long journey for me. Maro definitely gave his side of the story along with the names of all the conspirators, which included his father and late son. I passed these on to an apparently missing Moneypenny for the for future reference and discussion. I'll believe that she is missing when I see the corpse. I merely disabled the crew of the Emperor's ship, the Katiara, but I killed the captain and all the Pentis Oculatus scum on board very painfully. They were all initially paralyzed and gathered together in the hold, then had their innards eaten by a large larvae. I had inserted in every orifice of their body. It's a very slow and somewhat painful process. I was never disturbed by any visitors to the ship, as I offered their souls to Sithis when each died over the 2 to 3 days it took. During this time, I also entertained the Emperor and ignored his every wish for a quick death. His was a personal demise, piece by piece carried out, with all my skills in inflicting pain and suffering. I took the Blade's betrayal very personally, and I made sure he understood that in great painful detail. Emperors are actually human, and apparently mortal, unlike the gods. Sithis accepted his soul, little piece by little piece. I was now obviously unemployed, so I moved to the Dawnstar Sanctuary and set about rebuilding the Brotherhood and the Sanctuary proper. Nazir and Babette settled in, and with my funding got Delvin to organize the refurbishment. It all began to look pretty good. Cicero was originally ashamed and very contrite about allowing himself to be drugged by Astrid for several days after my return. He seemed to blame himself for the destruction of Valkyrie's Sanctuary. Then being Cicero, he returned to his usual annoying Cicero self and started talking to the Night Mother again. He eventually started to help with new initiates with Nazir and Babette. Things started to get back to normal. I collected the location of our fee from Motier, then killed him and his pet goon. After checking, the money and the jewels were all there. A courier arrived with a letter from my mother whilst I was in Whiterun training up my two little orphan girls, Lucia and Sophie, in the art of lockpicking. They were getting pretty good at it. I don't think Lydia, my house carl, really approves, but she doesn't say much anyway. She is really very loyal, and she has sworn to my service. She takes it seriously like a good Nord would. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I like that. That's an interesting take on the Dark Brotherhood series. It's gives it a different feel. And actually, I just kind of started Dark Brotherhood in order to get the... what's that called? Stone? Burn's Eye Stone? So I just started it for that. So I'll probably get into Dark Brotherhood a little bit at some point. But that's definitely an interesting way to take the story and a different way to look at it. And it's just another way to play the game and, you know, with a different perspective and a different feel. Oh, I got some necromancers attacking me. Sorry about that. I wanted to move my character a little bit. But that's all I have for this time. I think we're going to do a Skyrim roundtable on the 23rd. What's today? The 10th? So, yeah, that'll be a Saturday. Saturday the 23rd. Probably be live on YouTube. And sorry, my throat is really dry. It's rough this morning. I should have brought some water down with me. But so the 23rd, we'll be doing that. Obviously, we still have the Fallout feed going if you want to check that out if you're playing Fallout. And I'll be back next week to see who's around. Maybe somebody will be joining me. And hopefully, I will have acquired that final Baron's Eye Stone from Solitude. I need to get in that house and get that damn stone. So I got to get through Wolf Skull Cave here. That's all. Ow. My elbow just cracked. Sorry about that. That's all I have this time. Thanks, everyone. Later. Thanks for listening to this episode of A Skyrim Addict. You can find all of our contact information, YouTube channel information, as well as other shows over at asapodcasting.com, including our newest show, The Fallout Feed. Special thanks to Claire Lafar for the show's artwork. You can find her stuff at etsy.com/MayaFireprints, MayaFireprints. Oh, hello, everyone. So this is take two because so many audio issues this week. Recorded a chatterbox, I guess it was last week, and lost half of the show, mysteriously disappearing from... just disappeared from GarageBand. Half of it just weird, just disappeared. But anyway, so show's a little late this week because... Oh, we had a snowstorm. Sorry about that. And I didn't get a lot of time to play or anything, but I have a little bit on my character. So I'm still going with my Necromancer. I've been doing some of the Daedra quests. I did Mehrunes Razor, the quest for Mehrunes Dagon, which I enjoy. You go get the pieces of the razor and then bring them back, and you take them to the shrine of Mehrunes Dagon, and then he ends up turning on the guy who you got the pieces for, and you have to battle a bunch of Dremora and stuff like that. And I conjured my own. I had my bone warriors. They've since died off. I have to go make some more bone warriors at the altars. Maybe I'll try and make some bone mages. I think I'm high enough level to be able to do that now. But so I did that. I did Meridia's Beacon to get Dawnbreaker. I think I sold both of them because I'm not using any weapons at all with this character. Just, you know, continuing the magic necromancer kind of thing. Conjurer, you know, kind of blending it all together. As far as the round table, the finale of the round table will be this weekend. And that will be the last Skyrim round table for the time being. You know, unless something changes right before a new ES game comes out and we want to do something like that. But the round table is going to kind of move over to the Fallout feed and going to do a Fallout round table. So I will just be continuing on doing the regular show here, having people on whenever, randomly, kind of how it goes around here. And so if you're interested in joining on or anything like that, send me an email, scaremanicpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, so like I said, I haven't had a ton of play time this week. I did a couple of different things. And I did get into the Forgotten City, not the Forbidden City, as I said last time. Forgotten City. And I'm partially into it. I'm probably not too deep. I'm not even going to guess the amount of time through it I am, but I've gone through a first part and I'm into a second area, kind of time traveled, and then really enjoying it. Great atmosphere, really creepy, definitely a way different type of quest than you would get in the normal game. Really liking it a lot. Also, when we were talking about it in the Facebook group, and Nick, who is the author of the mod, said he could answer any questions or anything we had about it, and just to let him know. So I'm going to finish it up or finish playing through it, and then once I do that, I'm definitely going to get in touch with him and talk about it and stuff like that, because I just want to be more well versed in the entire quest lines and things like that itself, and have a better knowledge of it. But I'm enjoying it a lot so far. So there's that. And other than that, I'm just going to be getting into that over the next few days and playing that before this weekend. Although it'll probably be 2 weeks, because if the round table is this weekend, I think it's this weekend. I could be wrong. I may not record again until the week after. I don't know if I'll be making the round table for this weekend. So, but my necromancer Willie will continue on, Willie the Breton. So, I do have some feedback from Dave. He has hopped back into ESO with McBeta. So we have a journal for McBeta here. I have not been back into ESO yet. Every time I turn on the Xbox One, I play some Fallout. When I turn on the PC, I play Skyrim. I keep wanting to get back into ESO. It's just not drawing me in yet, and I need to get further into it before I can make that choice. I feel like I'm cutting myself short, and I really need to at least give it more of a try to see what I like. So I'm going to make that a goal of mine for the next recording, too, is to put ESO back in, give it another few hours of play, and see how I'm enjoying it at that point. You know, at least get a little bit of play here and there on it. I'll never get hugely into it, I'm sure, where it'll be like the main thing that takes over my gaming, but I think I need to give it more of a fair chance than I have. So here is the latest journal from McBeta, who was obviously the character that transitioned from Skyrim to ESO through some kind of vortex portal thing. So, some bloody hero. Well, it's official. I'm the hero of Bleak Rock, they say. Gods, that's a laugh. Found everybody. got them back to the village, lit the beacon, put out some fires, and helped Captain Rana get everybody off the island. Apparently, that makes me a hero. I bairn we I biscuit erskud ein dunyan. I'm sure I butchered that horribly. Translation. A child sitting on a full nappy could have done that. I have to say that Captain Rana is obviously destined for greater things and a higher authority. During the escape through the crypt, I couldn't help but notice one thing. I always got the bit where I was attacked or had to go through dangerous fires or traps to open doors or triggers or switches. Captain Rana seemed to know that I was too thick to question her about this at the time. Definitely senior officer material. Send in the troops, they'll obey orders, no questions asked. To be honest, I never thought I would see her again. When Era Earthturner told me that the Covenant were attacking the Balfoyan Harbor, and Rana and her daughter were defending, I did go to help. An Argonian called 11 Skips was waiting at the docks bridge, and pointed me in the correct direction, whilst she was looking after a wounded Sergeant Sane. To be fair, after we defended the docks at Balfoyan, Captain Rana wasn't backward about tackling the commander of the Daggerfall Covenant, with my help, of course, on his own ship. We kicked his Dark Covenant arse, good and proper, along with his proxy bodyguard. She did seem grateful for the help. Strange woman, she never used magic once. Bloody good with a sword and a dagger, really fast. Not like an officer at all. When it was all over, I even got to meet a real Argonian general. He looked like a tough old lizard, I can tell you. I wouldn't like to cross him. He was huge. He gave me one of his great swords as a reward. I was too embarrassed to tell him I couldn't use it. No strength in my wrists or upper body. I had already swung a great sword at great risk of life and limb. to life and limb. Mine, that is. After all that, I was sent off to warn Davin's watch. So back to where it all started, and I'm still in deep doo-doo. The Bloody Covenant were all around us, apart from the Balfoyan side. I had to work my way towards Davin's Watch, as I never found the way shrine there. Apparently, it's actually somewhere outside the Bloody Walls, and nobody thought to tell me. In Balfoyan, the remnants of the defeated Covenant troops were still attacking the local Argonians. Bastards. The people were only farmers and fishermen, not soldiers. Mind you, these handskies, pitchforks, and filleting knives were bloody deadly as they soon found out. There was even one old Argonian who came up with the idea of throwing netjags at the Covenant troops. The smell of a broken netjag drove the bullnetch absolutely berserk, and they just worked their way through the Covenant troops, killing them ever so quickly. Killed a lot of the bastards that way. Good thinking, that Argonian, whoever you were. I even helped one poor old bugger who had lost his family. They were his guar and his livelihood. He gave me some smelly stuff to give them, said it would remind them of home, and he was convinced they would come back to him. I did find them on the way. It actually worked, as I found out later. These Argonians aren't as stupid as they are said to be. In fact, the few soldiers and a lot of the farmers I saw were not only pretty tough-looking, they did a lot of damage to the Covenant. I'm glad they are on our side. Eventually, I got back to Davin's Watch to warn them, and found that a bit of a siege mentality was setting in. They looked as though they were going to be in it for the long haul and had dug in. I didn't care at the moment. I had just warned them, and now I was tired, bloody sore, and very hungry. I just needed to be in bed after a lot of food and a very large tankard, or maybe three, of some alcoholic refreshment of any kind, preferably strong. Certainly none of that golden lager or watery beer crap. That is terrible stuff. We'll just say that. So that was the latest journal from McBeta. Sorry. Let me pull. Whoops. There we go. So got that one. Sorry, I'm working as I go. Going through my email as I go here. All right. So, so apparently the internet having issues again. So he's back in Skyrim with Makatia, and she's a bit pissed off at Mercer Frey. But who isn't? So, fingers in pies. Extract from the notes of Makatia Blackstone. Let's see. I had too many pies, but not enough fingers. I needed to prioritize my workload better. Two assassinations were doled out to Nazir and Babette. They were each to take an initiate with them for work experience. I also allowed Gabriella out of her first solo mission. She was good under pressure and didn't make any mistakes that I could see. Her target was an itinerant lumberjack in Morthal. A target I got from a disgruntled servant in Markarth. She had been through Morthal on her way to Dawnstar, so knew the area. All these from the Nightmother. The Dark Brotherhood was back in business with vengeance. This was probably what we were all about anyway, if you think about it. I left Cicero and Drogo to guard the Sanctuary and the Nightmother. Drogo might drive Cicero completely mad because he likes to snooze in front of the Nightmother's coffin for some reason. He just won't budge. Something is holding him there when he isn't with me. It's very strange to say, at least. It's almost as if he feels McBeta is somewhere near the coffin. I get chills thinking about that one. I remembered he was quite strong magically and bound to McBeta because of that rune on his hairy arse. Now I had received a note from Enthir in Winterhold telling me he had now completed translating Gallus's journal and had confirmed the translation with a colleague. Carlyle was waiting with him in Winterhold at the inn for my return. This was a tricky one for me. Carlyle had saved my life after Mercer Frey had tried to kill me when we were chasing after Carlyle. She had been blamed for all the bad luck surrounding the Thieves Guild. She was supposed to have killed Gallus, Mercer Frey's predecessor. She was a kill on-site target as far as the guild were concerned. I found out, almost dying in the process, it was actually Mercer Frey who had killed Gallus and had framed Carlyle for it over 25 years ago. The translation done by Anthier confirmed everything I'd heard from Carlyle, and I agreed to meet her in Riften to present it to Brynlof and the others in the Ragged Tavern. That was the tricky bit, but I was prepared to do it and to hell with the consequences. He was the target as far as I was concerned. I just needed to find the murderous bastard. I didn't actually care about how Brynlof and the others would have felt. I knew the bastard was bad and he was my target. The guild members were not happy with my message about Brynlof. But Brynlof, Delvin, Vex, and the others were prepared to listen to Carlyle. The story she told stunned them, and Entier's translation rang alarm bells. Checking the guild's hoard in the secure area proved to be the clincher. Mercer had cleaned them out completely. Every chest, box, drawer had been emptied. It had to have been going on for years. Vex was more vexed than ever, to put it mildly. Delvin was spitting blood as he had put a lifetime into that hoard. It was agreed that I was best suited to investigate Mercer Frey's house adjacent to the Temple of Mara. The only way in was a rear stair triggered by an arrow at the highest point. Side note, I always have tons of issues trying to trigger that with an arrow. I don't know why. And I used a bow a lot. Back to that. The watchman was taken down by a paralysis poisoned arrow and stuffed in the corner below the stairs out of sight. He would recover in about 5 or 6 hours. He was only doing his job. Probably poorly paid, too. The house itself was occupied by a variety of bandit types. I killed them all during my investigation. Gods, I was so pissed off, I didn't even check them for loot. I found a secret passage behind the wardrobe with steps down to what was a basement level. I went down carefully, disabling the few traps there were and made it all the way down. Down there, I picked up everything of value, including a bust of the Gray Fox and the magical sword Chilrend. They were Frey's, after all. Now they were mine. I also found his journal with a few notes and returned it to the Ragged Flagon via Frey's escape hatch in the Ratway. Investigations carried out by Brynloff turned up that Frey had even stolen all their future plans, including their prime job, Gallus' proposed heist of the Eyes of the Falmer. Carlyle reasoned that this had to be the target. Stealing the Eyes of the Falmer would have set him up for life. We needed to stop him, but first, she needed to talk to us about the Nightingales. Brynloff scoffed at the Guild fairy tale, and I just looked blank. What in oblivion is she talking about? She described the Nightingales, who were normally chosen from high-ranking members of the Guild. Master of their calling, if you like. A secret organization within an organization? That sounded familiar. I wonder if I'll get to be called Binioi Septum, Two Nulls Seven again. I would even hear from Moneypenny again, who was going to be the new M. The last one was killed. I'm wandering. Sorry. Carlyle insisted that Brynloff and I must join the Order and take the oath if we are to have any chance against Mercer Frey. The oath is best described as a business arrangement with Nocturnal. A guild contract, if you like. You protect her temple and the skeleton key with your life, and now, life now and in the hereafter. The outcome is you are then less likely to have problems get in your way when you are doing things a bit of business out with the law. For instance, guards or lookouts rarely spot you, lockpicks hardly ever break, and master locks even get opened by novices on occasion. Chests sometimes contain rare weapons or jewels. Nightingales call this the windfall or the blessing, or anything but the L-word. Nocturnal doesn't like the L-word, so it's never mentioned. Thieves who use the L-word find it's usually run out. We just had to recreate the Trinity to try and placate Nocturnal. To do that, we had to become Nightingales in the Nightingale Hall, which was just outside of Riften. Never heard of it ever, and its location was well hidden near the Shadowstone. After receiving our Nightingale armor, which just bloody appeared at the armor stone, we were inducted as Nightingales by Nocturnal. It seemed pretty informal, but I could sense the real power of this Daedric Prince. She wasn't one of the stupid ones. She was maybe a bit of a gambler, but was always one who knew about all the odds. I wouldn't want to ever cross her. She just asked where we were prepared to guard the Twilight Sepulchre. And when we said yes, it was done, and we were Nightingales. The clincher to the deal was to get the skeleton key back in its rightful place. I think Mercer Frey is in deep shit and he doesn't realize it. I think he's going to have a rather unpleasant hereafter. Our task was to find and kill Mercer Frey and return the stolen skeleton key to Nocturnal's temple, which is called the Twilight Sepulchre. I don't think we get an opportunity to refuse on this one, and the message won't disappear in 5 minutes. It's deeply embedded in our psyche. I should possibly worry that I am now serving Sithis, the Lord of Chaos, Meridia, the Daedric Prince called the Lady Infinite Energies, or the Light, together with Nocturnal, the Daedric Prince of Darkness or Shadow. I just don't worry because I know Sithis is actually in charge. He just doesn't say much. The others are just opposites somewhere in the chaos of their own universes, balancing each other out in their own way. Well, that's my take on it anyway. To hell with it. Let's go kill a murderous bastard. Oh, so that's the next piece of the McBeta story. Let me pull up the final one here. Okay. It was actually an email about haggis, which I've never had. I have had vegetarian haggis, oddly enough. I have never had regular haggis, so Let's see. What is it? Sheep's liver, kidneys, lungs, and heart together with barley and various spices boiled up in a sheep's stomach. Served with mashed turnips and potatoes. All washed down with, of course, a glass or two of Usi Bethia. Torment 30-year-old preference, but 10-year-old is more affordable. Nice. So I don't know a lot about haggis, but I have a vegetarian haggis. That was the latest journal from both Makachia and McBeta. I thought of something in the middle of that, and I lost my train of thought. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of the last time I went through the Thieves Guild. I do it pretty regularly. The Thieves Guild is one of the ones I really enjoy. And I do like the Nightingale armor a lot. The Dark Brotherhood, I do like that as well. And I will probably do that this time. Because I've never done it as a conjurer mage. I've always done it as an archer or like a sneaky stealth with daggers. I've never actually done it the other way. But I have to definitely put a little time in the ESO too after reading about that. So I'm going to see if I can do that. And like I said, I'll be doing Forgotten City. So that's all I have for this time. Thanks for listening. I believe next week will be a roundtable that'll be out. I believe. Don't hold me to it. Sometimes I mix up the dates. So that's always possible. If you have a moment, leave a review for the show. It just helps with visibility, that's all. And thanks everybody for listening. Later. Thanks for listening to this episode of A Skyrim Addict. You can find all of our contact information, YouTube channel information, as well as other shows over at asapodcasting.com, including our newest show, The Fallout Feed. Special thanks to Claire Lafar for the show's artwork. You can find her stuff at etsy.com/mayafireprints, MAIAFIREPRINTS.